Good morning. Welcome in. It's Friday. Yes, end of the week edition of My Car Guru, heading into the first weekend of the new month. And we welcome you in with the guru himself here, Lenny Lawson.
You sound enthusiastic this morning.
I'm always enthusiastic on a Friday, I tell you that.
Because you were anticipating great things from a radio show?
We'll go with that. Yeah.
Or having no agenda. Do you have an agenda this weekend? Have you been dictated to as to what your chores are?
I don't get dictated to.
I have a small list.
You do? Yeah.
Involve light bulb changing, fertilizing. I hope the weather cooperates, though.
Just don't get them mixed up.
No. Don't want to fertilize the light bulb.
The sockets. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
No, I was reading this morning about some of the big sales from Scottsdale. Do you ever watch the Barrett Jackson auction?
I've watched it before.
Can you imagine somebody just not having anything better to do than to sit in a lounge chair, drink a pal's tea, and watch rich people pay too much money for cars?
Yeah. You know what I don't like about those auctions? And I don't know if you tell me if it's this way at Concord Elegance or whatever.
Yeah.
Is the person out there that's taking the bids, how they kind of hover over you and stand over you?
That's the salesman. You know, that's the pressure.
Right.
You know, they're looking at you and they're pointing.
They're pointing.
They're shaking their hand. And they're, you
exactly.
know, that nervousness, that nervous energy they're creating.
I know. And I notice at Barrett Jackson, they pretty much are hovering over them. They're standing right over them because the person's usually sitting there in the chair.
Well, that's just part of the show.
And they're just, they're right there, right over them, almost in your space.
Now,
you know,
when I go to Amelia Island, it's actually the show is on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or Saturday. You know, they have different, but typically they have the Cars and Coffee event, which is anybody can go down and show their car as long as they accept you.
Mm-hmm.
It took like three tries for me to get accepted the last time for the Cars and Coffee event.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the same grounds. It's right there beside the Ritz-Carlton on Amelia Island.
Mm-hmm.
And they take about four golf holes, and they turn it into a car show venue.
Right.
They set up all these big fancy tents and stuff like that.
Right.
It's just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go down, we go to the auctions that actually start on Thursday. And you have the Bonhams auction. You have RM, which is the high-dollar auction that takes place. I mean, it costs $150 just to go in and watch that auction.
Yeah.
That's in the Ritz-Carlton itself. But our favorite is the Gooding auction, Gooding & Company.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Gooding, if you just Google Gooding & Company, you can see the run list that they're going to have at Amelia Island.
When is that? That's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's coming up in May the 25th, I think.
So it's around Memorial Day.
Yeah. Yes. But anyway, the they don't have the screamers. It is a much more tasteful affair. I mean, when you go, they have these big tents set up on top of the tennis courts. Okay, so, and there's white chairs everywhere, and there's this big stage and three big screens. The center screen shows the car itself, so everybody can see it. There's a screen on the right, one on the left that shows all the numbers and dollars and Deutschmarks and pounds sterling and, you know, all the different currencies that they are tracking when somebody's bidding on the car. And you have this very fine, elegant Englishman that sits up there and does the auctioning.
Mm-hmm.
And it is nothing like an auctioneer.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Sir, it's your bid. Oh, we have another bid over here, sir." You know, and then that's kind of the way it is. It's not intense. And then you have all the plebs like me sitting behind in the cheap seats in the back, you know, and they have food and beverages of multiple kinds. They serve breakfast.
Yeah.
They give you the opportunity to go tour all the cars before they start running them through the auction.
Sure.
And I'll never forget, I saw this crowd approaching, and at the head of the crowd there was following was Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And he was selling a collection of 35 of his cars, and it was a big deal. And I think the next year, maybe that same year, I saw Caitlyn Jenner was there, formerly Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, I know.
I liked him better when he was an Olympic gold medal winner. Personally.
Yeah, it was funny. I was watching, did you ever watch Battle of the Network Stars back when it was on ABC, I think in the 70s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that show where they'd take all these celebrities from different shows and they'd compete in athletic competition? They had Bruce Jenner on there as kind of a co-host.
Oh.
And he was giving them advice about the track events and all that. And I thought that was kind of, you know, unusual to see him on there.
Well, he, she, sold a Porsche while I was there, and it brought big money. And,
oh, yeah.
And so, anyway, the...
What about Leno? Have you ever seen him there?
Never seen him there. Okay. Never seen him at Amelia Island. I've been a bunch of times. He goes to Pebble Beach. But I tell you what's really cool is when you're when you go down there, you drive onto the island, you turn right to go towards the Ritz-Carlton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go through this winding road, and the first thing you pass is the airport. And as the week goes along, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, it's a parking lot for private jets.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And, I mean, not little ones either. This is the... They talk about the top 1%. This is the top 0.1%.
Yeah.
You know. And
can you imagine having that kind of money, that kind of folding money? Of course, I know they don't dole out cash usually for it, but can you imagine having that kind of resources to where you go to a show like that and it's no big deal, you just drop a few million on a vehicle?
Well, what would it cost to fly Gulfstream from Italy to Amelia Island,
yeah,
Florida,
yeah,
you know, for a car show? And they ship their car also,
mm-hmm,
on an airplane.
Let's hope the Suez Canal's not blocked.
Yeah, Wendell and I were looking at, my brother and I were looking at an Alfa Romeo. It's probably one of the most beautiful restored cars. Just the metalwork and everything was just so perfect. The interior was beautiful. It was a body I'd never seen. Of course, he's familiar with it, Mr. Know-It-All, brother of mine. And anyway, love him to death. But anyway, we were just looking at this car, and the owner came up. Well, my brother found out that he was the owner.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I just finished the car. He's speaking with a very, very strong Italian accent, and mm-hmm, I shipped it over here for this event. Of course, it won best in its class.
Yeah.
So they get that trophy. You know, it's a culmination of a project. I mean, so they probably found this car, either a barn find or bought it from an individual. It may have been a totally different color, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And not sure where it was restored. Obviously, overseas, you know, Italy or England or someplace, because they shipped it here on a cargo plane. And so, you know, went through the whole project, locating all the parts, trying to make it as original as possible, you know, true to the way it was built, but far better than the way it was built.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take it, put it on an airplane, ship it to Amelia Island, get it judged, get the blue ribbon, and then what happens? Probably within the next year sometime, it goes on an auction block,
mm-hmm,
somewhere, and it becomes somebody else's car. You know, we call it rich people swapping toys. But, you know, just because, I mean, they have money, and they've made extreme wealth, and they use it. You know, they probably, a lot of the money that goes through, as far as the auctions are concerned, they always have several charity auctions. I know at, Scottsdale, they sold, I think, the first production Ford Bronco for like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a $50,000 Bronco and a $950,000 donation,
mm-hmm,
you know, to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They sold a Hummer, I think, for $2.5 million, somewhere in that neighborhood, the first production electric Hummer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, at least they're taking some of this money and giving it away.
That's good.
But, you know, the Ford GT, Ford won Le Mans in 1966, got first, second, and third place. You know, you saw the movie,
mm-hmm,
Ford versus Ferrari. Well, there are several evolutions of that car. In 2004, around that time frame, Ford decided to come back out with the Ford GT.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one as for my business, my dealership. We sold it eventually. Should have kept it because at the time it was a $140,000 car. Today it would be almost a $400,000 car. It's, mm-hmm, gone up that much in value. Well, that production run ended. I think it ended in 2007. And then there was this hiatus until Ford decided they wanted to go back to Le Mans again and try to repeat for the anniversary of that, mm-hmm, great win. And so they redeveloped the Ford GT and came out with this model that they have currently that they're still manufacturing. Well, you can buy that car for about anywhere from $400,000 to $500,000 is what the car sells for, new car from Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if you can get 60-month financing at zero. Probably not. This weekend, one brought $990,000.
It's getting up toward a million.
That's pretty good appreciation for a car that was built in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
that's almost like the stock market, almost like Tesla stock. Well, no, not quite as good. Tesla stock went up 700% last year. We should have bought it, Tim. I told you. Should've you said, have. Nope, too should've conservative.
Have. Yeah, I was holding back.
So it was very interesting to see. Here's another Ford GT. It was the Heritage Edition. Looks pretty good. You see how the doors fold up on that?
Yeah. Yeah.
This one, lot 1408, brought $1.2 million. So that's a lot of money until you look at the 67 Ferrari 275 GTB, which is a gorgeous body car. I know Mr. Bachman has one or two of these, but this car was sold for $2.475 million. I think the most money ever for a Corvette to bring. Does that sentence make sense? I need to rearrange some of those words. The most money that a Corvette has ever
brought.
Mm-hmm. There you go. 1967 Corvette L88 Coupe. When it comes to regular production Corvettes, the L88 was the top of the food chain.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make many of them. And this particular car brought $2.7 million, a Corvette that sold new for about $7,000. Pretty good appreciation. But the top getter was the original 1966 Shelby Cobra 427 Super Snake.
Mm-hmm.
That Carroll Shelby wanted to build a car that was faster than anybody else's car at the time. You know, as far as Ferrari, he just wanted to do it, and he mm-hmm. succeeded with the Shelby Cobra 427 Super Snake. It was his car. He kept it. It was in his garage. Last time it sold, the first time it sold in 95, it brought
$375,000. Mm-hmm.
The second time it sold, it brought $1.2 million. And then this past week, it brought the big money, $5.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, pretty good investment if you can find it.
Pretty good. I was thinking that I saw, I was watching Leno's Garage, and Tim Allen was on it. I believe he had one of those, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think, of course, the ones that those guys would have would be probably original.
Yeah.
Not mm-hmm. not replicas.
Right.
There's a lot of replicas out there. There's several companies, mm-hmm. Factory 5.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember right off the top of my head. I think there's four or five different reputable companies that provide the kit, basically, for
mm-hmm.
a
mm-hmm.
Cobra.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have your local body shop build it for you. And more than likely, if you use a 289 V8, you know, you're probably going to be able to build something like that for $50,000 to $60,000. If you use a 427, some big honking engine, and try to make it as original as possible, you could get up there in the $80,000-$90,000 range to build one of those
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, 3 years from now, it's worth $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not real. But these Cobras are never going to go down in value. And of course, the Cobra was a project of Carroll Shelby,
mm-hmm.
and he knew about this company called AC in England that was putting V8 engines, small displacement V8 engines, in sports cars, and they were doing pretty good. And so he hooked up basically hooked up with Ford Motor Company and Lee Iacocca, and they were providing engines to him, and they wanted a sports car that they could sell, you know, kind of a halo car that they could sell under the Ford name.
Mm-hmm.
And so he found these bodies. They shipped one over. They've got a Ford 289, and they figured out a way to shoehorn it in there and put a manual four-speed transmission and created the first Cobra. And the rest is history. They ended up winning, just dominating road racing, beating the pants off of Corvette, mm-hmm. you know, during that same time frame, and also winning at Le Mans with that car. And then Ford said, okay, you did so good with that. What can you do to beat Ferrari? He said, well, that's a different kind of deal
mm-hmm.
there. But they were able to do it
mm-hmm.
eventually. 1966, got first, second, and third.
Yeah, right in a line.
And Ken Miles got the shaft.
The shaft, no yep. question about it.
Yeah. Actually won the race, but got penalized on the technicality.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, you know how they run up to the cars and jump in the cars at Le Mans back then?
Mm-hmm.
He was further up the track
mm-hmm.
than the other drivers, and because he was further up the track, they said that because they crossed the line at the same time, that he didn't drive as far
right.
as the second place car. So,
yep.
So was it Bruce McLaren that ended up winning?
I was trying to remember.
Getting the title?
It might have been McLaren.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that was a shame.
Everybody knows who really won that race.
That's correct.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take our first break, and we'll be right back. We welcome you back. My Car Guru here on this Friday morning, heading into the first weekend of April. And we're just talking about all kinds of good stuff here today.
You did graduate from high school, didn't you?
I did, as a matter of fact. I was in the top 10% of my class.
Oh, bull.
How about that?
No way.
Seriously. Of course, there was only 82 students.
I was 33rd in my class.
But you had a lot more students.
Yeah.
Quite a few.
200.
Yeah, we just had 82, so it was a group of
eight. I cheated,
though. Oh, yeah?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
But, yes, I did graduate from good old Hampton High School.
We were talking about the 70s music. That was the best
music.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the cars that I drove in the 70s. My first demo, my dad gave me a car to drive, was a Chevy Vega. GT.
I'm sorry.
No, I liked it. It was cool. I mean, I was free. I was a free man.
Sure you were.
And it, you know, it handled good.
The Vegas were all right. I
liked them. I would love to have that car.
I'm sure you. I'd like to have a Vega in good shape. I just saw so many of them. The
problem is they don't exist anymore.
That's right. But there's so many that had rust on them and everything.
Well, everything rusted in the 70s.
That's true.
Maybe they rusted just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. They were better than a Pinto, but the engines weren't as reliable.
Right.
It was an aluminum engine, and they had a real problem with blown head gaskets,
yeah.
Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you graduated in high school in the last 42 years, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
What was the number one selling car back when I graduated, which is 1974? I'm not really sure, but I'm going to say it's probably a Chevrolet Impala.
Yeah, probably a safe bet.
But now you graduated in 79?
I did.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what the best-selling car in the country was?
We talked about this during the break, and I made the guess of the Camaro Z28. It seemed like there was a lot of them around. But
this particular company sold 518,160 of these units.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a Ford product, and it was not a Chrysler product,
mm-hmm.
So I guess it had to be a GM product,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which GM product? Which division? Would you think Chevrolet, Buick, Oldsmobile, Cadillac, Pontiac?
That's a lot to choose from. I'll just take a stab and say Cadillac.
Oldsmobile.
Was it really?
Cutlass.
An Olds Cutlass.
Mm-hmm.
I like those body styles in the late 70s.
Well, the previous year, 78 was the first year of the new shrunken body style.
Yeah.
GM was trying to get all of their vehicles in right size. They had shrunken the full-size cars, the B-body cars.
Malibus, I remember they shortened them.
They shrank all of them in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the Chevy Impala came out. The first Impala came in. I said, oh, my gosh, that's not going to sell. I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It sold really good. But anyway, 79 was the best. The Cutlass was the best selling
mm-hmm,
year.
Mm-hmm.
78, it was the best selling year. 1980, it was the best selling car.
Really?
1981, it was the best selling car. And then an interloper stuck his head in, and it was the 1982 Ford Escort.
Okay.
And then the Cutlass made it back in 1983.
Wow.
And then that was the year my son was born. The Cutlass was a good. Here's a two-door Cutlass with the little opera window and Landau top.
I like the body styles.
Those sold pretty good. And then Chevrolet got their act together in 1984, Chevrolet Cavalier, 383,000.
Yeah.
And Cavalier kind of dominated for some time until the Celebrity knocked the Cavalier off its perch.
I had an 85 Cavalier.
My sympathies.
It was all right.
Two-door or four-door?
It was a four-door.
Automatic or manual?
It was an automatic. Yep.
My extreme sympathies.
I know. But, you know, had a young family, so.
That's all right. You're forgiven.
All right, we'll take our last break, and we'll come right back. All right, back here as we reminisce about cars from the 70s and 80s, back for the final minute of My Car Guru here on a Friday.
You know, Ford had a pretty good run. You know, the Honda Accord came out and just knocked everybody off their perch. And then the Ford Taurus in 92 was the best-selling car, 409,000. And 92, 93, 94, 95.
Mm-hmm.
And then the car that outsold everybody and pretty much never let the title go again. Can you name what car that was?
In 96?
Well, it was, yeah, no, let's see. 97, I'm sorry.
97?
Yep.
I'm not sure what it would be.
It is a Japanese car that begins with the letter T.
Toyota.
Yeah. So Toyota and Honda have owned the mid-size passenger car market.
Was that the Camry?
It was the Camry.
97.
Yeah, Toyota Camry.
Okay.
So everything has changed now. Now we don't have cars anymore. You think about the top sellers were all cars. They didn't have SUVs and crossovers.
I know.
You know, trucks, were still outselling, you know.
And they had
trucks were at a different category, but now we have a whole new category.
They had the Ford Aerostars and Oldsmobile Silhouettes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Mazda MPVs. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Good. So anyway, a little bit of history.
Good memories. I like it. That'll do it for My Car Guru this Friday, and I hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.